Just want to share with you guys tonight that we come out here on Monday nights because God loves you so very much. There is a God out there that really loves you. And we really care for you. And God has got a great plan for your life. You're not on this earth by accident. You're on this earth on purpose. Amen? God has got a plan and a purpose for each and every single one of us here tonight. I just want to briefly summarize last week's message on always thanking God, since it was the Thanksgiving weekend. You know, we thank God for His many blessings upon our lives, right? He's been good to us. He's given us new breath today. Except for God's grace, we would not be here tonight. He has been so good, and most important, we thank Him for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, through the work of Christ, right? I mean, that is the greatest gift in the universe. God has been so very good to us, and we need to thank Him for His goodness upon our lives. You know, friends, Thanksgiving is an attitude, as I said earlier, of gratitude. It's a lifestyle. It's something that you do every day, not just one day out of the year, the fourth Thursday of every November. It's something that we do on a continual basis. We also thank God when times are tough, right? Remember Jonah. He was in the belly of a whale, right? Because of his disobedience. And in the midst of his belly of the whale experience, what did he do? He repented before God, and he sang songs of thanksgiving to God. And guess what? That whale spit him out. God delivered him onto dry land, right? So tonight, you may be going through a really tough time in your life. Speaking words of thanksgiving to God is an act of your faith. You believe that God can deliver you, right? Say yes tonight if you believe that.
Yes.
God can deliver you. Well, you need to put some action to your faith. And that action is speaking words of thanksgiving for your deliverance in advance of the miracle. And when you do that, God will honor your faith and He will set you free. Amen?
Amen.
Always thanking God. All right, tonight I want to continue on the series called The Fruits of the Spirit. The Fruit of the Spirit. Now, how many here tonight like grapes? Anybody like grapes? You love grapes. All right, see lots of hands out there tonight. Well, let's say you're stuck in the middle of nowhere on a farm, and you don't have access to any grapes, but you've got some grape seeds in your hands. What do? You plant those grape seeds, right? And you nurture those seeds, eventually it produces a grapevine with a fruit called grapes, right? You've got to look after those grape seeds. Well, in our spiritual walk with God, when you said, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord, the seed of the Spirit of Christ was planted in the soil of your heart. And as you nurture that seed, as you nurture that relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what? The fruit of the Spirit should be the result in your life. If you're full of Jesus on the inside, the fruit of the Spirit should be manifesting in your life. You agree with that tonight? Because guess what? The seed of the Spirit of Christ is planted within your heart. You've got to look after that seed. And tonight I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit called kindness. Called kindness. I did a word study on kindness. Let's turn first to Galatians 5:22, where Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I studied this word kindness for a little while this afternoon. And this, Galatians 5:22 through 23. Galatians 5:22 through 23. Kindness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. In studying this word, this is the definition I came up with for kindness. Kindness is doing that which is good or helpful for another person, whether or not they deserve it. Kindness is having a calm and gentle spirit, a calm and gentle response to those who irritate, frustrate, or upset you. Kindness is actively doing good for someone who may never thank you. Should I repeat that tonight?
Yes.
Pretty much have it? Okay, kindness is this. Kindness is doing that which is good or helpful for another person, whether or not they deserve it. Kindness is having a calm and gentle spirit, a calm and gentle response to those who irritate, frustrate, or upset you. Kindness is actively doing good for someone who may never thank you. Now, God is the ultimate example of kindness. How does God demonstrate His kindness toward humanity? God's kindness is shown by His mercy in saving from death those who turn from their wicked ways. God expresses His kindness by His mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting something that someone deserves. If someone does wrong, if they do sin, well, they deserve punishment, right? But in God's mercy, if they turn from their wickedness, He forgives them, right? Let's turn to Jonah again tonight. And I know we talked about Jonah a little bit last week and at the beginning of this message. But remember, God told Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach to that nation 40 days, and Nineveh will be overturned. Now, Nineveh was a wicked nation. They were involved in all kinds of sins and perverseness and gross immorality. Okay, and God says, Jonah, I want you to preach to this nation. Jonah goes the opposite direction towards Tarshish. Right? He ends up in the belly of a whale. He cries out to God in the belly of that whale. He sings songs of thanksgiving, and God rescues Jonah. He spits him out onto dry land. And He gives Jonah a second chance. Look at Jonah chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Verse 4, on the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. And the Ninevites were convicted. They declared a fast. They repented. They turned away from their wicked ways. Look at verse 10, Jonah 3. When God saw that what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction He had threatened. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Verse 2, he prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that You are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. The King James Version says, slow to anger and great in kindness. A God who relents from sending calamity. The Ninevites, they repented. They turned from their wicked ways. And God, in His kindness, demonstrated His mercy. He did not destroy them. So God's kindness is demonstrated in what? In His mercy towards us. Not giving us the punishment that we deserve because we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? All right, along the same thought, let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Talking about kindness, the kindness of God. God's kindness is shown by His mercy to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Let's read this in Luke chapter 6, verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. From this passage here, we can conclude that God's kindness is shown by His mercy to the ungrateful and the wicked, right? Jesus demonstrated this kind of kindness to the wicked. Remember in Matthew chapter 27, you might want to turn there. Matthew chapter 27, right before the crucifixion and during the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Matthew 27, the Roman soldiers, for instance, they took a crown and put it on his head. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified. It says in verse 39 of Matthew 27, those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." The same way the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him." In the same way, verse 44, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Now, these Roman soldiers and these Jews and these criminals crucified on either side of Jesus were what? They were his enemies. They were ungrateful, right? Ungrateful. The criminals crucified on either side. Excuse me? One of the robbers, but one of the robbers had a heart change. The criminals who insulted Jesus were his enemies. They were ungrateful to him. Now think about it, guys. Jesus is God, right? At that point, Jesus could have done what? He could have called down 12 legions of angels to remove his enemies from him. But in his kindness, he had mercy on them, right? He didn't destroy them. He was actually dying to save them. Jesus was in an atmosphere of ungratefulness. Would you agree? They didn't care that he was dying for them, but yet he was doing good for them in the midst of their ungratefulness. This is the spirit of kindness. Jesus was so kind that he said this. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I mean, if it was a human being, maybe one of us, we would have maybe gotten a little bit angry, right? And lashed out a little bit, but not Jesus. Jesus was so kind. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. The criminals who were crucified on either side of Jesus. Luke 23, verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then that criminal said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus was so kind, right? And responded this way. Verse 43. Luke 23, verse 43.
"You will be with me in the kingdom."
Luke 23, verse 43, right. Jesus answered that criminal in Luke 23, 43. "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." This criminal was wicked till the day of his death, right? Up until the cross. And if it was one of us, we'd have been like, "You know what? You've been just far too wicked. I ain't forgiving you." If it was one of us, maybe. You've just gone beyond the limits. You've done just too much evil. You're not being forgiven. But not Jesus. Jesus was so kind, right? Jesus said, "Yes, you're forgiven. Today, you will be with me in paradise." So God's kindness, the kindness of Jesus, is shown by His mercy to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Amen? Yeah. I mean, those who were crucifying him, they were ungrateful to Jesus. And yet Jesus was dying for them. He was doing a good deed for them, a kind deed in the midst of their lack of thanks. God is good all the time, right? And all the time, God is good. Now, taking the example of God, the example of Jesus, how are we to demonstrate kindness in relationship to others? How are we to demonstrate kindness in relationship to other people? Number one, forgiving and having mercy on the person that you find it difficult to forgive. The first way we demonstrate kindness is by forgiving that person that you find it difficult to forgive. Now, why do I say the person you find it difficult to forgive? Because there are some offenses out there that are easy to forgive, right? Now, let's say somebody comes up to you. Maybe it's a long-lost friend. Maybe somebody you see every so often, and they look at you. They say, hey, Jonathan. Hey, David. You know, hey, Jack. Hey, Bill. Hey, Amadi, it looks like you've gained about 20 pounds. That little area below your chest is bulging out a little bit these days. And you get insulted, right? Like, man, I can't believe you said that to me. And you lash back at them. They insulted you. Or maybe somebody says something jokefully about your mother or your father, and you get angry with them. And that person comes to you and says, I didn't realize that joking about your weight would offend you that much. I'm sorry, would you forgive me? You think about it for a few minutes and you think, well, you know what? Sure, I forgive you. That's an easy offense to forgive, right? It's an easy offense to forgive. But how easy is it to forgive someone who has deeply wounded you, who has deeply hurt you, and asks for your forgiveness? It's not quite as easy, right, to forgive that person who has deeply insulted you. For instance, say someone lies about you at work and it costs you your job. It costs you a relationship. And you're upset with the person. And that person comes back to his senses and he says, you know what? Jonathan, David, I am sorry. Would you forgive me for lying about you and costing you your job? That relationship? Would you forgive me, please? And you might be thinking at that point, this person does not deserve my forgiveness. I can't believe what they did to me. But if you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit called kindness, what should you do? Kindness in that situation would say that you should forgive that offender, right? So you think about it and you think, you know what? You don't owe me a penny. You don't owe me any compensation. You don't even owe me a job. I forgive you wholeheartedly. So there's some offenses, friends, out there that are more difficult to forgive. But kindness says you need to forgive those offenders. Amen? Remember Jonah. The Ninevites had greatly sinned against God, right? They had greatly sinned against God. And they were right at the point where God's wrath was ready to be poured out. But Jonah went and preached. And what did the Ninevites do? They turned away from their wicked ways, right? And God, in His kindness, demonstrated His what? His mercy. He did not destroy them. What does the Word of God say in Ephesians 5:1? Be ye therefore imitators of God. If God in His kindness can demonstrate mercy, so should we, right? Think about that. We're to be imitators of God. Number two, how do you express kindness in relationship to others? Number two, the second way to express kindness is by responding calmly and gently to somebody who irritates or frustrates you. What does Proverbs 15:1 say? It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, right? And I received this email just recently, and I read it this morning, and I thought, man, this really fits well with the message for tonight. So it's called Garbage Trucks. All right. How often do you let other people's nonsense change your mood?
Do you let a bad driver, rude waiter, curt boss, or an insensitive employee ruin your day? Unless you're in the Terminator, for an instant you're probably set back on your heels. However, the mark of a successful person is how quickly she can get back her focus on what's important. 16 years ago, I learned this lesson. I learned it in the back of a New York City taxi cab. Here's what happened. I hopped in a taxi and we took off for Grand Central Station. We were driving in the right lane when all of a sudden a black car jumped out of the parking space right in front of us. My taxi driver slammed his brakes, skidded, and missed the other car's back and by just inches. The driver of the other car, the guy who almost caused the big accident, whipped his head around and started yelling bad words at us. My taxi driver just smiled and waved at the guy. And I mean, he was friendly. So I said, "Why did you just do that? This guy almost ruined your car and sent us to the hospital." And this is when my taxi driver told me what I now call the law of the garbage truck. Many people are like garbage trucks. They run around full of garbage, full of frustration, full of anger, full of disappointment. As their garbage piles up, they need a place to dump it. And if you let them, they'll dump it on you. When someone wants to dump on you, don't take it personally. You just smile, wave, wish them well, and move on. That's a kind response, right? To someone who irritates you, right? You'll be happy you did. So this was the law of the garbage truck. I started thinking, how often do I let garbage trucks run right over me? And this is not to say that anybody is a garbage truck, but some people have a lot of negativity on the inside of them. Some pretty nasty stuff that they want to dump out on you. So when they dump it out on you, don't take it personally. Respond in kindness, right? Just smile, wave at them, and go on your merry way. That's a kind, gentle, and calm response. Amen? I'll stop that at that point. Alrighty. So we express kindness by responding calmly and gently to the person who irritates us. The third way that we express kindness in relationship to others is this. Just doing a kind deed for somebody who is truly in need. You know, somebody who is in need is deserving of our help, right? If there's somebody out there in greater need than you tonight, they are deserving of our help, right? Let me tell you a personal story. About a month and a half ago, I was at a lady's house. 88-year-old woman, healthy, pretty good shape, not very sick in her life. And I was doing some landscaping work at her house. And so she's walking up the front porch, and all at once, she falls backwards on this concrete walk, and she bangs her head really hard. 88 years old. Does not break a bone, friends. She's kind of dizzy. She comes to the backyard where I'm at, and she's like, "Jonathan, could you come here for a second?" I'm like, what's wrong? She says, "I'm kind of dizzy. It feels like something was trying to push me back." I said, "What happened?" She said, "Well, I was on the front porch and I kind of tripped, fell backwards, and hit my head really hard on the concrete. So I just did a kind deed for her." She said, "Could you help me?" I said, "Sure." I said, "You might want to go to a doctor for him to x-ray to make sure you didn't break any bones." Anyway, I went inside. She was bleeding on both arms. I took some ointment, I cleaned her up with hydrogen peroxide, took some ointment, put it on both her arms, bandaged her up, and she was so happy from that point. And she's doing great today, a month and a half later, she's doing fine. She's got all of her wits, did not break a bone. But I basically just did a kind deed for someone in need. And friends, you can do the same. There may be somebody out there tonight that needs a little bit of your time. In kindness, put aside an hour, maybe 2 hours, and just spend some time with them. Maybe somebody just needs a kind word. They're starving for affection. Tell them that God loves them. You know, even just tonight, you know, Roy, the guy who feeds us or brings the food every Monday night, he was basically sick. He's got the flu. But in kindness, he brought the food tonight. He brought the fried chicken that you guys are going to enjoy in just a few minutes. I think that was very nice, don't you? I mean, he was sick. He's got this fever. He's got a sore throat. And he still came and brought fried chicken tonight. That's an act of kindness, right? All right. And guys, we can do the same. If he can do it, if Roy can do it, you and I can do it. Amen? All right, the fourth way to express kindness in relationship to others is this. It's actively doing good for those who may be ungrateful to you. Actively doing good for those who are ungrateful to you. And this is what Jesus did, right? To his enemies, to the Romans, to the Jews, to the criminals crucified on either side. He was actively good to them, right? Amidst their ungratefulness. Now, I watched this movie a second time on Thanksgiving Day with my family. It's called Evan Almighty. Has anybody here seen Evan Almighty? It's a great movie. It's like about Noah and the Ark. I thought it was great. It has a great Christian theme in it. Basically, it's this. It's about this man named Evan Baxter, who's a politician, and he wants to change his world as a politician. And he starts getting hints from God to build an ark from Genesis 6, 14. And at one point, God shows up to Evan Baxter in human form. And he says, Evan Baxter, I want you to build an ark. But he's like, I want to change my world. And basically, God says to him at the beginning of the movie that you change your world by random acts of kindness. Acts of random kindness. So through a series of events, Evan Baxter gets these hints from God that God is wanting him to build an ark. So to make a long story short, he eventually builds this humongous wooden ark with his kids, right? And everybody around him thinks he's crazy. The people of the community think he's nuts. They're totally ungrateful to Evan Baxter. You know, they're like, Evan Baxter, there's no flood coming, yada, 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 yada. And he happens to be there one day right before the flood. And he's out there on the ark. And he says, the flood is coming. Get on the boat. Get on the ark. And there's news reporters out there. There's people out there. You know, the weather is dry. It rains for a little bit. And then the rain stops. The skies are blue. And they're like, Evan, there's no flood coming. And all at once, in the distance, you see that this water dam breaks. And it's rushing forth really, really strong. And the people see it. Their eyes get really big. And guess what? They start running into the ark. And there's animals, too, of every kind in the ark. The people get on the ark, and they are saved. This guy, Evan Baxter, was doing a kind deed to those who thought he was crazy. Being kind to the ungrateful. And at the end of the movie, I thought it was real touching, where God comes up to him and just kind of writes in the ground and writes, A-R-K. And what does that stand for? Acts of Random Kindness. Do you want to change somebody else's world? Do an act of random kindness. Even though that person may be ungrateful to you, eventually they'll thank you eventually when they're saved. Amen? And remember this, when you're kind to others, you're kind to whom? You're kind to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, for as much as you've done it to the least of these, you have done it for me. When you do kindness to somebody else in need, somebody else who is ungrateful, somebody who needs a gentle response, right? When you forgive your offender, guess what? You're doing it for Jesus himself. How many would jump at command if Jesus was standing in front of you in human form tonight? You'd be like, yes, Jesus, what do you want me to do? How many here tonight? If Jesus was standing right in front of you, you'd jump at command. Well, guess what? The person in need in your life is Jesus in disguise. When you're kind to them, you're being kind to Jesus. You know what? And as you're kind to them, they may not be thankful to you, but guess what? Your reward in heaven will be great. God has got something great waiting for you guys. Amen? God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. So don't forget this week to practice this fruit of the Spirit called kindness in relationship to others. And four areas, four ways you can express it is what? Number one, forgiving those that it's difficult to forgive, right? Number one. Number two, when somebody irritates you, how do you express kindness? You respond with a calm answer. You respond with a gentle answer, right? Number three, how do you express kindness? How do you express kindness in relation to others? How's that? Just doing a kind deed for someone in need, right? And number four? Actively doing good to those who may be ungrateful to you. Amen? And when you do it for them, you're doing it for God. You're touching the heart of God. Amen?